The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Are you in focus?
I'm in fucking the little squares around my eyeball.
Ah, nice, nice, nice.
And I'm recording there, and I'm recording here, and I can see you, and you can hear me.
Yeah,
we're doing good. I got my notes.
Oh, I don't have those. I got them all up here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we have a lot to talk about. Well, first of all, I want to say that was I love the promo that you did with Blurry Brian the moment you realized that you were blurry. That was great.
It was like when a dog looks at you and does this. I was like looking at the screen because it's right here, and yeah. I'm all,
oh, hold on.
You're just talking away. I'm all, wait a minute. There's no square around. Oh, man, I'm blurry.
Oh, no. Oh, well.
Okay. Couple things out of the way first.
Oh, right. Well, we're getting right at it. Okay, go ahead.
Someone from New Zealand hit me up about merch, and I cannot find their message.
Oh.
So if you're listening to this,
message
me again. I don't know if it was on the Grindr TV, the Drop, the Facebook. I don't know where it was.
There's too many messaging platforms.
There is. One person hit me. Wait, what time is it? Oh, it's 12. Shoot. I didn't schedule this good, huh? I got to put my hoodies up real quick.
Oh, man, dude.
I know. I can do it right here. But anyways, yeah, there's someone hit me up from New Zealand about a hoodie, and I put that aside. But then I was like, oh, these hoodies are going to go live at noon, and then now we're recording. But I'm going to do it
noon, right? Noon Arizona time or noon Pacific time?
I put 45 minutes on the on the thing. So
that still messes with me all the time, Arizona time, but...
I guess
one day we will be the same. I don't know.
Yeah, we will. This month sometime. Okay, so those are live.
I meant more like permanently. Like we're just going to be on the same page all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that. This is really fascinating for our listeners. The title of this video is the LST recap, so I'm sure they're anxiously waiting to hear everything that happened to us.
We should talk about that at the very last.
Oh, just yeah, like yeah,
the,
yeah.
Just like the news does. Well, they'll be like, they'll tease you with the story, and then you have to watch the whole hour until the last 5 minutes.
Wait until the end of the episode to hear our highly detailed opinions on
They're like, you realize we can fast forward this, right?
Oh, damn it. But then you'll miss all the other wacky shenanigans that happen. Like, this is going to be like a two-hour episode. It might be a two-parter. I don't know. We may wrap this up in a few minutes. I don't know. But there's a lot to talk about. For a short trip... A lot happened.
I went and picked these up.
Oh, what do you got? Oh, yeah. Nice. Nice. Yes. I don't have mine yet.
Did you want one?
Yeah, that's the whole reason I made them. Remember.
They're $20 on the website.
Well, our long, 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 long time people who tune in and listen will know that once upon a time, I was sponsored, and I use that in quotation marks, by Liquid Death. And our very early episodes had me always having a can of Liquid Death because I was a good brand ambassador, ambassading a brand that was not mine. And I was extremely loyal.
More into the other brand.
So dumb.
That's when we kind of realized, we need to step our game up.
Yeah, yeah. And then way back then, I had this, like, when all that kind of fell apart, I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? We need to be marketing ourselves and marketing this. And then now, like, 2 years later, it finally came to fruition. That's our friend Gabby over at Chaos Merch. She made those for us.
And then that all ties into this.
Oh, really? Nice. Brian is showing a well, first of all, for our audio listeners, Brian was showing us coffee mugs that were just
audio people are like,
what are they talking about? Previously, like Brian was showing us some coffee mugs that we had made with the drop logo. And then now you've shown us, are those 444s?
These are a dual pack of 444s that we bought with everyone's money that's listening to this.
Yeah, cool. It all works out. We're returning the favor.
We take the money, like, yeah, we didn't get these for free from anyone. We bought them. This is the Switch Suspension LST special. So
okay.
Every year at LST, Switch puts out a pallet of dual packs on sale. So we snagged one of these, and the money that comes in, we reinvest, and it just kind of, that's the way it works. So
yeah,
this is our new giveaway that started. When did we do the other one? February 1st?
Yeah, I think February 1st. I think January 3rd. Yeah, January 31st was the accurate giveaway. So any orders that were put on February 1st until now are entered to win for this Vyaire 444 dual pack. What color are they? Are they black or chrome?
They are the black.
Black. Those are I think those are the nicer ones. The chrome ones are cool, but I am partial to the black ones myself.
And most of the time you can't see them.
Man, most of the time they're under the bed anyway.
Yeah.
That's very true. That's very true. So go to our websites, livelifecustom.com, grinder-tv.com, and I'm on top of stuff. Right now you can go on the website and buy the brand new t-shirts that are ready to go. They're on the website. They're ready to go. Snap them up. And
So you have all your new stuff on there now?
Yeah. My currentest new stuff. There's more stuff coming, but those are my most currentest.
There's always going to be more stuff coming. It's our year for more stuff coming.
Yeah, don't ever trip that. Oh, I already have that. Nope.
Yeah, and if you guys want to get the Ford Ranger shirt of mine, get it now because that's going away. I'm not reprinting it.
The blue one.
The blue one. Mm-hmm. And what else is going away? There's something else that's going to go away. I forgot. But yeah.
Cool. Yeah, great. Sorry, I got distracted by a message.
No, it's...
You got distracted too.
I did. So the Bones Brigade skateboarding thing.
Mm-hmm.
They released a new series of skateboards.
Oh, cool!
At 9 o'clock this morning, and I went on. I was on there when they put it on the website. I put a Tony Hawk in the cart and a Lance Mountain, and I went to check out. And the Tony Hawk, they were like, "No, there's no more Tony Hawks." It was not even 9:01.
Do you think it's actual people, or do you think it's bots buying these things up?
I don't know how bots stuff works. I know bot stuff can work on eBay. There's programs. I don't know how shoes. Like on an actual website. Like
I think there are people who have figured it out, because like when they do shoe drops and stuff, when Nike does like limited, they're gone like within seconds.
Yeah, so that's what this had to be. I got the Lance Mountain, and then I scored a Steve Caballero.
Oh, nice.
But Steve Caballero's releasing the same boards on his website at noon Pacific time. So Carl is like
anxiously waiting.
Remind me. So there might be another little pause in here.
Okay, that's fine.
In 50 minutes, because when you buy them from Caballero's website, he signs them.
Oh, well, I mean, you could just wait until he was on the podcast.
That's true.
Yeah.
Tune in next week.
No, April. Where I'm.
It's
gonna...
just me holding skateboards at the Havasu Meltdown and all.
You're like, can you sign these, please?
Yeah.
No, that's great. But yeah, so new merch, new giveaway. We are back from LST, was last weekend. So let's start there. Let's start with the trip.
Let's start with the trip.
Yeah, the trip was. It was interesting because, well, okay, the very, very first place I want to start, and I'm going to concede a little humility here, I doubted you. I doubted you very much so.
Okay, well, let's even go back before doubt.
Okay, all right.
So you were going to leave the desert and be at my, like, you were going to leave the desert at noon, I think.
That was my plan.
Or 11, be down at Brandon's for like an hour to pick up my shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to then another stop in Marina Valley to pick up a part for me.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole thing.
There's an underlying theme of me trying to make it out to you.
Yeah.
So when I leave the desert to go out to Phoenix is only 5 hours away from me, which doesn't seem like a lot. But I don't know. I guess it's just life or whatever. Like it never takes me 5 hours. It always takes me a lot longer. And when I'm about to leave for a trip, I tell the family, I'm like, okay, guys, Tuesday, I'm leaving it. As soon as I get my youngest to the bus, I'm out. And they're always like, why? It's only 5 hours away. Why do you have to leave so early? And I was like, okay, well, whatever. So then, you know, because of that, we scheduled a dentist appointment for my oldest. And I did that. I didn't get out of the dentist appointment until 11. I didn't get on the road. And then it was like that day it was raining crazy here. Which is funny because, like, you know, we were so concerned about Texas weather. The weather here was insane. It was rainy and cold and just miserable. The freeway was all jacked up. So, like, it took me what would normally take 50 minutes to get down to Brandon. Took me, like, an hour and 45 minutes to get down there. I got down there. He was just chilling there. He's like, man, I didn't know if you were going to show up or not. I was like, yeah. And then I didn't tell you. I don't know if I told you about this. So... And you know, forgive me for always bringing this up, but it is a pretty prevalent thing in my life, which is my back, which everybody's tired of hearing about it. But I have to explain. It actually plays a lot into this whole trip, too, yeah. By the way. So I have to bring that up. So, you know, you had like 15 boxes of shirts that need to be picked up. And then I was trying to get down there so, you know, his guys could load it. Because at the time, I was still very concerned about, like, my physical capability at that time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's getting later in the day. I call Brandon. Hey, I'm trying to make it. He's like, well, don't worry, because we had some other stuff going down that I was going to do down there. And he's like, well, don't worry about it. The guy's already left. And I was like, oh, no. What do I do? So luckily, my sister and brother-in-law live 5 minutes away from his shop. So I was able to get my brother-in-law to come over and help me. And it's raining and we're like throwing boxes. And it was a whole thing by itself. I finally get on the road. I'm going to meet Eric from the club to get you another part. So that took extra time. And then we got lost. He thought I was on one side of the freeway. I was on the other side of the freeway. It was a mess. I didn't get going on the road until 4:30.
Yeah, it took. It and then took you a didn't long show up time. To my house until 10:30.
10:30, almost 11. Yeah. And then we still had to unload the 15 boxes of T-shirts.
Unload 15 boxes. Go through the boxes. Mm-hmm. I had pre-orders that I wanted to get out before I left, so I had to package all those up.
We made like a little assembly line thing. Yeah.
Then I had to like go through the shirts, and there was three designs in those, and I had to like box those all up, get those sorted, then figure out how there was hoodies, so I had to figure out which hoodies I'm taking. Then there was like I had to figure out which how much stock I was taking. So, like, I remember it was, like, 12:30, and you're like, hey, are we still going to leave at 3 in the morning?
Because previous like, to yeah, that, why? we have our little group, you know, and we had everybody who was going to LSTU, and we were, like, you know, making plans and stuff. And you brought up a couple weeks ago, you're like, we're going to leave at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because previous to that, every year, we don't leave until, like, 7 or 8. And we usually...
And the reason I wanted to leave at 3 is because I wanted to get as close to Conroe, to LST, on Wednesday as possible. So... Because we usually get to Conroe like late 7-8 o'clock at night, and then Thursday. Sometimes we have to pick someone at the airport on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that turns into like setting the booth up Friday morning, and there's people already there, and it's just like I just was like in my head, I'm like, if we can get there midday on Thursday, it will be such a relaxing. It'll like set the tone.
Yeah, and it did. And it worked.
Well, all of you guys were like, we're not leaving at 3.
I know everybody doubted you. Everybody did.
Yeah. And well, to be fair, we did not leave at 3. We left at like 3:40. But when we were in the garage putting the stuff, you're like, hey, it's like 12:30. I'm all,
uh-oh.
Oh. So by the time we got done doing all that, loaded the trailer up, it was like 1. And you're like, all right, I'm going to go lay down. And I came back in the office and still got some stuff. And I didn't lay down till 1:45.
That's crazy.
At 2:05 in the morning, I heard my phone go bling, and I knew exactly who it was.
It was Joe
and Morgan. Yeah. And they were like, we're getting ready to go. I didn't even read the message. I was like, I have to go to sleep for like 50 minutes.
Yeah.
And I even contemplated just getting up because out of spite, this whole spite thing, I was not going to not leave early in the morning.
Right. Man, I love it. I absolutely love it. No, we did it. We got up. I took the first leg that early in the morning and got as far as we could, but
after your 10 hour drive,
after my 10 hour drive,
just a few hours before that.
Yeah. And that actually to sur- I'm going to keep on bringing this up, my back. So like I had not been on that long of a road trip since I hurt myself. And so it was gnarly because we were in the truck for 19 hours that day. And we got all the
way. And you were in the truck for 10 hours the day before.
Right, right. So
with only like a 4-hour window.
Yeah. So I mean, I was in that for a long time. And so we made it far. We made it all the way to Katy, actually. Mm-hmm. Katy, Texas, which is only an hour away from Conroe. Which was, you're right, it was great. It, Thursday was such a nice day to just get there and set up, and you know, everything was going real smooth. But I noticed that I started feeling a little weird on Thursday morning when I woke up. I was like, uh-oh. Cause like I felt like I had like kind of like a spasm, and I was like, uh-oh. And I started to panic a little bit. I think you noticed.
I did.
I started to panic a little bit. I'm like, oh no, this is it. It's all done. I'm cooked. Like, that's it. We're all done.
All this stuff going through your head. You're like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Just everything.
Everything was just racing through my head. But, you know, luckily we had, you know, Matt and Miguel from the club came on Thursday and helped us set up. It was just like, I had so much help. And to kind of like fast forward through the whole back thing, by Sunday, I felt great. It was like this total like mental block. Like I had already convinced myself that I wasn't going to be good. So I was already like defeated before I even started, you know. But once we got going, and then actually what really kind of got me in the mindset was going out to film. Because that was one of my main concerns about filming, was bending over and filming and like doing all this stuff. But once I got in the mentality of filming, and because I mean, like, you know, when you're out there filming, you're like, there's just so many things you got to think of. Like, you actually can't, there's really no room to think about anything else. You're thinking of, you know, exposures, this and focus and like all this crap going on in your head to make sure that it's correct. Well, it pushed all the other negative stuff out of my head. And I finally just was like, oh, I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
And I'm okay.
We also could not do a lot of this. It wasn't for our friends in our club, because
we're very lucky.
We are very fortunate that they, even though our club parks far away from at LST, we're like separated quite a bit. Like they always come down and make sure everything's good. And so we didn't say Will was flying out, huh? We didn't talk about that.
I don't know, because it was tentative. I think the last episode we did, it was still tentative or I don't know what it was, but maybe we did. But anyway, yeah. Will came
and we knew that the weather was going to be really good just by the forecast. There was no rain leading up to it. There was no rain after it. So there wasn't going to be any, like, usually sometimes if it doesn't show rain Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it shows it Thursday, sometimes it pushes into Friday. But so I was getting like, okay, it's going to be busy. We're going to need help. And so Chupas was already flying out there to help me film.
That was the film part though.
That was the film part, but which allows me to be at the booth a little bit more. But then I was like, we need one more person. So we kind of figured it out, and Will from Surface came out to help us set up at the booth, or to run the booth the whole weekend. And it worked out really good.
Yeah, it was great. He was such a tremendous help. I'm so thankful for Will. Thanks, Will.
So
producer, yeah, thanks, Will, for our,
but he didn't land till like 11:30 on Thursday night. So everyone went to bed at the Airbnb, and me and Chupas took off. We were like, we're going to go to Bucky's, and we drove like an hour to Bucky's. We went on this adventure. You know, everyone went to bed. We're like, we're just going to go out on the town.
Yeah.
And we go out, and then on the way to get Will, I was like, I heard something in the truck. And I was like, oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. Frank's going to freak out. This is like, he's already worried about his back. Like, the truck is just the last thing. So in the morning, I told you what it was, and you're just like, yeah, whatever.
Well, no. You said, I'm getting up. I get dressed. I'm, like, getting myself prepared for this whole thing. You walk in, you're like, you want the good news or the bad news? And then I was like, I guess I'll take the bad news, which is funny because after all of this, later, like, that night or something, I'm like, hey, by the way, what was the good news you were talking about? And you're like, oh, there was none.
Yeah, there's no good news.
There's no good news at all. I was like, okay. So you go, so you break the news to me that the truck, it probably needs a wheel bearing. And yeah, I was like, okay. Like, yeah. I think I want to pat myself on the back through this whole thing. I did really good through that part. Like, the truck needs a wheel bearing. Okay, no problem. We'll get a wheel bearing. Now, we just had to decide. I was like completely ready to just drop it off at a shop and be like, okay, you know, fix a wheel bearing. We'll pick it up later, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But we kind of like talked about and decided, like, you know, the Dallas guys are coming down. They're, you know, really handy and they have tools and they're, and you're like, let's just do it. And it's like, okay, cool. So we swing out of there, out of the B&B, still chill, cool, good mood, pick up the bearing and get to the show, set up, do Friday. And Friday went good. We'll get into this whole thing, the vibe thing of the weekend later, but we'll concentrate on the bearing story right now. So get the bearing, go halfway through Friday. The guys come out. They're like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like, are you sure everybody's cool with doing this? And they're like, yeah, let's do it. And so we thought it was a driver's side, which actually still had the stock bearing in it because I actually had the passenger side bearing changed a couple years ago. But we've quickly figured out, like, oh, no, it is the passenger side bearing. Well, that's interesting that the stock one has lasted 209,000 miles and the one I changed recently went out, whatever. So we go to do it. I was thinking about this before I would start talking. I'm like, do I name names what happened? Just leave it be? Because, I mean, it's nothing bad. It just kind of like...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you mean how Sean destroyed it? No.
yes, how Sean buggered the whole thing up.
We get everything off, and we're just... There's two caliper bolts and three wheel bearing bolts, and they just fell to the ground. Mm. Well, they look identical.
They do.
But they were not identical. And when Sean went to put the bolt back in the new wheel bearing, it was kind of shimmying around a little bit, and he went to tighten it down.
With an impact gun.
With an impact.
I mean, that could have been...
If it would have been the right bolt, it would have been totally fine.
No, I know.
But it was the wrong bolt. And I looked at the bolts, and I was like, oh, they look the same. Anyways, strip the wheel bearing.
And then... Well, hold on. Let me tell you about that little moment, because that's pretty...
Oh, no. He knew exactly when he did it.
I know. That's the funny thing. Yeah. Is like, I'm... Because... You know, I'm not trying to be overbearing or anything, but I'm definitely watching.
No pun intended.
Yeah. And then so he goes into it, and I was likening it to, I don't know if people have seen this video. There's a video of a guy tightening up a head bolt with a torque wrench, a digital torque wrench, and he goes, it's torqued. For some reason, he decides he's going to do it again, over torques it, and breaks the bolt. So after he breaks the bolt, just starts like in denial, just starts trying to tighten it again, and it's just spinning, and the guy with him goes like, did you just break the bolt? Anyway, that's what I likened it to, because Sean puts the bolt in immediately, like, and then he like kind of like is like looking around like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And I go,
yeah,
did you strip the bolt? And he goes,
what? Yeah. So I was down there with him.
Yeah, you were down. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he hit it with the impact and he goes, oh no.
He knew. I didn't hear that part.
But then he stalled and just stared at it for a minute.
Like it was
like
gonna,
it would just fix it. He's like.
Like it wasn't going to be stripped.
Yeah. But it was so cool. It just worked out. Like took it out.
Yeah.
All right. Found a place to buy a new bolt. Went and got a new wheel bearing.
Yeah.
And then, got it on and everything.
Well, I have to say a big thank you to Justin. He's a petitioner for the Dallas chapter. He like once that happened, he took me to go get the wheel bearing, and that's a little funny thing because the fastener place where we got the bolt was like within, you could see it from the show, but for some reason my GPS took me across the freeway, took him on this wild goose chase. He's the one who actually figured out the bolts were different. So we go to pick up the bearing, we buy the bearing, and then I asked the guy at AutoZone, like, you know, do you have this bolt? And I'm calling it a bearing bolt, and he goes, that's when Justin figures, like, oh, wait a minute, these threads are different. And that's when we figured out there are caliper bolts and bearing bolts. And so he kind of like not saved the day, but really got that whole project on track, you know. So
yeah.
We came back and relieved Sean of his duties, and Justin put this whole thing back together. It was all great, and that was the afternoon. Basically, that was from like a 1 o'clock-ish to like 4 o'clock-ish until we left. And I'm happy. The bearings fixed. Everything's go team. Yes. We get in the truck to go head to dinner. I do my thing where I just start blasting my music on my stock speakers in my truck.
And I go, you're not going to like turn the music down to listen. If you just put this new partner in your truck to see if it makes any noise. You're like, nah. Turn the music up and we're cruising. The funniest part is we're driving through that entire fairground, the fair, because we went the long way.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're like windows down, music playing, and that the truck's going,
and it's going, and I'm like,
people must have been looking at us like, what a piece of crap.
I mean, dude, the previous to that, the truck, the side moldings fell off. So it's like half side moldings on the titty's in some disarray. Right now, yeah. I have to say that the titty is in some disarray, And yeah, and then that's when my demeanor kind of changed. I was like, oh, okay. But luckily, again, we just stayed calm. We went eight. We got it back to the B&B. We pulled the wheel off, and Joe's all like, oh, here's the problem. It was just a dust cover. It was a little bent. It was touching the rotor. No harm, no foul.
Yeah.
Do that. So that was the bearing issue. I thought we were like scot-free. We were like, all right, let's get this weekend going. Nothing else could go wrong until the next morning.
Was it Saturday morning or was it Sunday morning?
No, it was Saturday morning. After, because the bearing stuff went down on Friday.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, we climbed back into the titty and we're headed to the show. And you casually mention, because you're driving, I'm in the passenger seat, I'm living life, we got coffee, we got, you know, breakfast, with like life's good. And then you're like, hey, you know, does your check engine light just come on sometimes? I'm like, and I thought you were just messing with me. And I was like, I get no. And you're like, it's on. I'm like, yeah, okay. You're like, no, it's on. I was like, uh-oh.
And I said that because mine does. Mine's on right now. Like, mine will just come on for like a week and then shuts off.
It shuts off.
And it shuts off.
Mine has never come on before. So yeah. There's that. That was when the cracks began to show, so to speak.
Yeah, that was a very quiet drive.
Yeah, I got all quiet. I turned off the music.
Yeah.
Just, that's when you know things have gone sideways with me. Like, when I don't want to listen to music in the truck, you're like, uh-oh. Yeah. Things are going sideways. But I mean, and we were in denial on that one because I think we pretty much know that when the check engine light comes on, that what is going on, and that's cats, and
yeah, it's
catalytic converters. But we were kind of in denial. Again, the Dallas guys, thank you to the Dallas guys. They had a scanner, and which throughout the day before we got the scanner and stuff, we're all like trying to convince ourselves. I was like, oh, well, it's probably the wheel speed sensor because we took that off, you know.
Now, that quickly got, we were sitting there and we were like, oh, the wheel. Oh, and then I went, oh, no, it's the ABS light that comes on when that. Is right. And then I was like, I just knew in my head, just because of my truck, I knew it was,
yeah,
it was going to be a time soon that those were going to go. So did they try happened. To reset it too while they were there or no?
Yeah, they cleared the code and it immediately, it came,
immediately
right,
came back. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it needs cats. So that put a damper on that. Then we spent the whole trip home wondering if it was going to like adversely affect the truck, which it didn't. Like, I got the same gas mileage, same power, same gas mileage, same everything. So yeah, like, it actually has no real adverse effects on the truck as of this moment, other than, luckily for me, I'm on my off year for smog, because here in California we have to smog them every 2 years, and so I'm on my off year, so at least I have another year to figure out my life, what I want to do with it. So that's some you know, grace period there. Although there is, like, it's not a 0% chance, but it is a very small percent chance that I correct me if I'm wrong, but it could, like, if some of the stuff breaks off and gets sucked up into the motor, like, it could grenade the motor.
Yeah, that's I've never heard of that happening, and I'm on the Titan forums.
I've only heard of one example, and that was from the Wizard mechanic guy on YouTube.
Yeah, that's the only example I've ever heard. I've never seen it happen to anyone on the.
And who knows exactly what could have happened in that scenario? You know, so
yeah,
it's hard to figure, but yeah, man, the titty is like. It's going through a rough patch right now.
Yeah.
The blend door, you know, situation too, inside the cab, like the air conditioning, the actuator that changes it from defrost to dash isn't working too good. I tried tapping the dash to make it work and put a hole in the dash.
You did not tap the dash.
All right, I didn't tap the dash. It was a little aggressive, but.
And the dash, it's so funny that you did that, because it has nothing to do with any of that.
I know. It was just my brain, like, just like.
Well, it's one of those things when we went to LST, remember, and the year it was freezing and we were driving back and you didn't want to change your thing because it didn't work.
Yeah.
That, how many years ago was that?
10 years ago.
You could have changed them then. You never changed them.
I never, because they started working.
I know, but all of this now is like all on one.
Yes.
What
I understand that.
All these things that we've learned is like with older trucks and stuff is, at least this is how I've been doing it. When something goes wrong, I just try to get it fixed as soon as possible, because it'll just snowball into this.
And that's where I'm
catastrophe.
At. I'm the like the example of that now, because I ignored a lot of things for a long time.
Well, you know, your blend doors, if you can get down there and do them, you could do them yourself.
Oh, yeah. I already ordered the part.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of trying to finagle yourself down there and do it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many videos out there on how to do it and stuff.
Yeah.
There, I saw one. So I was watching, like we do, we get obsessed. We just start watching videos about all this stuff. So I started watching all these blend door videos, and like they're all the same, all the same pattern. And then I came across one guy and he's like, I'm changing my blend doors today. And then he takes his whole dash apart. I was like, did you not watch like any other videos? Like
that's the, like if you go into buy the books. So like, say, you know, you take your truck to the dealer and then that's, taking the entire dash out. The other way to do it is just like hoping you can get your hand up in there. But, you know, if you just, it's just about patience trying to do it that way. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to do it because I knew exactly what would happen. I'm not going to finagle my way down there upside down looking in there, you know? So,
I mean, that's going to be my scenario. I'm going to talk to my mechanic on Monday
and see if he's willing to do it that way.
I have a task. I'm going to be like, okay, look, I have a task.
You're like, watch this video.
Yeah. That's literally what I'm going to do. I'm going to hand the part, say this part needs to be replaced. This is the video. If you want to do it, then let's do it. But I understand if you don't, whatever. He's a cool dude.
While we're on the subject of Titans, before we get into LST, mine is being a little punk too.
Yeah.
So my check engine light came on and then I parked my truck because I just don't drive it all the time because I have the Maverick and stuff. So my seatbelt light flashes. It's been flashing for a while. So I'm like, I want to get this fixed. It's the truck sitting. I don't need it for a while. Let me just take the seatbelt out and then you send it to this place and they fix it. The charge in it goes off and you have to, and they can fix it. So I do this and I was like, oh, I should get my seats reupholstered while these are out. Mm-hmm. So I take the seats out. I take them down and drop them off to get upholstered. And then when we were at LST, the dude was like, hey, your seats are done. I was like, cool. So
you're like, sick.
Go pick up my seats. I should not have got them the color that I did.
What happened? They're
just tan in the center, right? Just like they were. But I'm like, these are just going to get dirty right away. I should have went
like a light tan.
Yeah. I should have just went like a dark or made them all gray. Like I made the mistake. So I go to put the seatbelt in, all that stuff. I put the seats in. I lose a seat bolt somewhere. I don't know where it's at. I plug the power seats in. The power seats do not work anymore. But I like ran a test light. There's power to the plug. So it's the seat. So I think it's the piece that's, you know, the switch. Mm-hmm. I think that got something happened. So I'm going to take that down Monday morning and he's going to look at it.
Figure it out.
The seatbelt light still stays on. It's still blinking. So that didn't fix anything. So none of this fixed anything. And I regret the color of the seat. So I'm going to talk to him and ask him like, hey man, can you redo the center of these seats? Gray, just the whole thing gray. I should have done it. I already got a piece of it dirty. I was so pissed. Oh, like, no. You know that feel, that piss feeling?
Yeah.
I just shut the doors of the truck and went inside.
Well, so. You sent me a message that said, let's just burn these to the ground.
I was like, I'm going to pay this Maverick off right now and go buy a new truck. But then I was like, that's a dumb idea. I was just going through the motion. And then my check engine light's on. So it's just one of those things. But
it's like a, it's like, what's the movie where they shoot the dog? Old Yeller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to blow those, put them out in the desert and just.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Just blow them up.
Just blow them up. And then commit insurance fraud. Anyway.
We're, we'll edit that part out.
Yeah. 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 So that was a whole thing. That was the titty saga of all weekend. But, I mean, she got me home and I got back. So I guess now we'll get into the show part of it.
Sorry, Jason Mulligan. Okay. Jason Mulligan texted me and he was going over times for next week.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to be cool. So I think our listeners already know that we're going to be on the Auto Revolution podcast talking about truck shows, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
And then we're going to switch and we're going to record them on our podcast.
Yep, and then we'll have Jason Mulligan and
Marcel
on our podcast.
I just told him, like, give me a second, I'll respond. Okay, so LST,
the show.
We knew it was going to be busy. We knew it wasn't going to rain. And we set, my favorite part of the weekend was how many easy ups we set up.
Oh, yeah, the palace of easy ups.
It was so cool. It was just, it like made my whole weekend just like, I don't know why. That's like an itch that I've been scratching is just like getting our booth to the point where it's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it felt like because there was people always come and hang out in the booth, which is totally fine, the club, but it gets real tight if we just have it. So we set up a bunch of easy ups and that was really cool.
that was really cool until it was time to take them down.
Yeah, but it didn't.
Then it
take
wasn't
that
so cool.
Long. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, but if Joe would have left,
should ask Joe.
But yeah, it was. I don't know. It was a good. I had a fun weekend. The Airbnb, the people that we were there with, like everything went really good.
I had a fun weekend as well. Like, I think as we get more into this conversation about the show itself and all the things that happened, we have to like preface it with it was fun. I had a good time.
It was
always a good time.
It like overall the actual show was mm-hmm. the best LST that I've ever been to.
I would say it's up there. I don't know if it's the best one, but it's up there because if I was to like really sit and think about it, maybe I could come to that conclusion. But off the top of my head, I don't know because they've all been fun. I was kind of like going over this in my head. Yes, even though when the weather was really bad, the only caveat to that is the rain year when it really rained. That one was zero fun at all. That was
well, there
fun.
Was two that were like that.
Well, the really, really bad one. So
the really bad one for me was 2 years ago.
The freezing. That yeah. was the bad one for me. That wasn't even that bad for me.
Yeah. That was the worst.
Yeah.
Probably one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life.
I guess it's perspective because even that one I had fun because that was, I mean, yeah, it was cold and it was miserable and, you know, all of that stuff. Like we still, that was the year that that the club had that big plantation mansion,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that was really fun going to hang out there. And we were doing all those silly things, like all those like,
oh TikTok. Yeah. Okay. So that part, yeah, I'm talking about that. Yeah. Just the actual show.
Just,
but,
like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
actual
yeah.
show. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just talking about like the experiences all together. Besides for me personally, besides the one that was completely rained out, I've had fun in every single one of them. So
yeah, there definitely isn't like a year we can go, oh, that whole thing sucked. The whole trip yeah. or whatever. There's just, I think what made it for me was not worrying about the weather.
Oh, that was a big
not
factor.
Worrying about the weather and yeah, getting there and factor. Just not worrying about anything. Like mm-hmm. we didn't really have to worry about much.
That's true. Every single year there has been, it was either weather or for that one time in 21 when we were coming back from COVID and stuff like mm-hmm. that was a weird thing too. You know, like, yeah, you're right. This was the first year it was almost zero worries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one.
Yeah. So, but then we were talking about like the vibe changing and I actually was on the phone with Lonnie last night for quite a while mm-hmm. and I was telling him like the area that we're in, I don't know if it's because we have like lifted trucks directly next to us and directly behind us and stuff. The nice part is we have like KIK in front of us and stuff like that, but it just felt a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd felt a little bit different.
Yes.
Not honestly, it didn't to me as much as it did to you and Joe. You guys talked about that more.
Yeah, well.
And I think it affected Joe more than anything because the C10, it just didn't seem like the C10 vibe was there.
Okay. I've kind of broken this down in my mind. See if you agree with me okay. or not, or have a different perspective on it. The whole time we've been going to LST, the very first years, which was 15, we didn't go in 16. So 15 and 17 was like the first years we were going. So it was like a new experience from my perspective, new experience. To me, there was a lot more lowered custom trucks back then, you know, more, not mini truckers, so to speak, but more our scene, our net, our casting of a net, you know? And then it kind of like changed into where we had a, kind of like the C10 takeover. That was like those years where like it was Ronnie doing the eastbound and down cruises, us chasing C10s all over the, you know, country going to Texas. There was a huge like C10 surgence. But those C10 dudes are still lower truck dudes. So they still kind of fit our vibe, you know, at least for me, for like my whole thing, which is like lowered trucks and lowered mini trucks. So like even if they weren't into mini trucks, they're still into like lower trucks, and a lot of our designs and themes and everything like that are catered towards lower trucks. And then I think that's when Joe did really, really well because that was the Vatos. Those are the C10 Vatos. Well, I got to thinking about that in those years. LST was only one of the very few C10 shows. LST is not a C10 show, but it was one of the very few shows where people went out of their way to gather a bunch of C10s together. Mm-hmm. And then in the past few years, when you have like the C10 Nationals and the Slowdown and the Intervention and like all of these on the Wakahatchee show, like there are more shows, so that the concentration of C10s has kind of like went down and replaced with big lifted trucks,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That's so what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know what I mean? And I just think that it's so hard to say. You know what I mean? Because there's so many factors involved. Like if you went out of our booth and up towards like Tray 5 and that area, like it's still the same.
And that's where I think.
But also, if you went the other way towards Ground Zero, mm-hmm. it's the same down there too.
I didn't go down there much. I just kind of didn't go past that little turn.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is my fault. But yes, I agree. Like there, all of all the main truck clubs are up near the entrance.
Yeah.
You know, you have the showcase in the middle when they walk in, like those badass like Silverados and stuff that are sitting there. I think the lower trucks exist more up there. And I think besides the guys down there in Ground Zero area, if you are in a lower truck club, you are not going really past Hammered because you look down there.
I was been thinking about this too.
Yeah.
When you pass Ground Zero, that entire area is lower trucks.
Yeah. See, I didn't go. I can't. Yeah,
see, the whole local finesse is over there. Like all those are lower. Like the lifted trucks is like where we are.
In that specific
that
area.
That specific area. And then like where the arena is, obviously in the arena. And then the entrance to the arena, that back area there towards like the monster truck thing. So like, I don't know what it, I just think we're just encapsulated with these lifted trucks.
Do you think it's just like our mentality that we're like kind of psyching ourselves out that it's a lifted truck thing? Cause I noticed it a little bit last year. Because last year I was actually kind of like vibing with those trucks. Like I'm like, you know, these trucks are interesting because they're these giant trucks, but they're like painted pinks and purples and like all these cool colors. So I was like kind of attracted to them and kind of like feeling them. But this year I felt like, and I want to really drive home that this is just my opinion. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I really felt like there was a surge of those types of trucks, not those really crazy, cool, like over the top custom trucks. But a lot of like mid-level trucks.
Yeah.
Lifted trucks.
I don't know. It's hard to say because we're just basing it on what we saw drive by our booth and all that stuff. But regardless of any of that, the show was successful as far as the amount of people that were there. Record-breaking numbers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Record-breaking show vehicles. High quality. Like there was nothing different, but. What we know, remember last year we stayed at the Comfort Inn right there. And, and we were like, what's that noise? Remember we kept hearing like a noise and what it was, was there was a meet behind our hotel. Mm-hmm. That's where that Kroger is. That's where that
was. That the same one? Yeah. Oh, that's the same one.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. So this year there was a meet again and it just got out of control.
And I think a lot of people listening, that's so we've reached the portion of the episode where we're talking about
the current state of LST.
Yeah. And that's with the video that was released of this giant meet that took place at that the place that you're talking about, the grocery store.
It was a Kroger grocery store, which I learned had to close for 2 hours during that.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because the parking lot was overwhelmed they just decided.
Yeah. And it was a danger to the public, basically.
I mean, I watched the video. It was rowdy.
You're trying to go grocery shopping. You know what I mean? You're just like, what's going on?
And then there's a guy driving the little motorized cart with a stop sign.
Yeah, they were stealing all the signs and they took the carts out of the store. And it was just very lawless.
It was mayhem.
It was. And, you know, to be fair, when I was young, we did similar things. Like illegal street racing, but the biggest difference is, you know, because I've heard people talk like, well, you know, when people are you're just kids, they're just gonna do dumb things, and that's true. But when I was younger, and we did lawless street racing stuff, it wasn't like around the public. Like we didn't do
I see what you're saying.
We didn't do
it more like
at a grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know, like we did it over there in the Boff Mission in Van Buren, you know what I mean? Down off the 15 where it wasn't too crazy. So I don't know if things have changed or if I'm just seeing this as through old man eyes, you know what I mean?
If I can play devil's advocate for a little minute and I'm by no means like, excusing this behavior or saying it was fine or anything like that, because it was, I think, I don't know if you brought up or who brought up or someone brought up, We used to have pretty, like, you're talking about the street races and stuff like that, but I remember the Forbidden Fantasy Paris days at the hotels that got, I'm going to be very careful to say equally out of control, because I can't.
Equally out of control, not as many people. That's what it was.
That's
so
the key. That's the thing.
It's just, that's it was the thing. Because think about the low life video days.
And I know, and I'm reading all these comments. I don't go on Facebook, but I went on Facebook and I'm reading all these comments and I'm like, half the dudes making these comments, I remember you dudes back in the day.
Yeah, when the camera turned on.
Yeah. Yeah,
things then well. People did some dumb stuff. Now that's not everyone commenting, but
no, yeah, definitely not. And I'm
you know
not
what I mean.
That.
But I think the difference is this crowd that caused these meets and stuff. They're probably 50 times larger than the stuff like we had like Greenville, which there was a lot of us at Greenville. Mm-hmm. But the things that we were doing in Greenville, Mississippi, were allowed by the police. Like everything, we were cruising up and down the streets. We were doing dumb stuff. Yes, hotel rooms got damaged. There was a mini bike that did a burnout in my hotel room, and a microwave was turned on and got thrown on the, there was some pretty bad things that happened. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it was just, it's just the amount of people that were at this thing.
That's a good point. The amount of people, it's hard. It's a very interesting thing to talk about. It's because, like, you know,
it's also very gang mentality too, when you think about it, because
for sure,
like, we had groups of people, a little mob mentality, thought we were cooler in groups, da 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 da. Mm-hmm. But the second there was like authority, or the second that there was like management involved, like, I personally would back down. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like there was a few people that didn't, but
and I remember those.
These people that are doing this don't care. I guess someone got the cops put someone in the back of a car, and then the people surrounded the car and the cops had to back off, and they got the guy out of the car.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like very like
that's like so that's I think that's a next level. That's pretty
it
next
is
level.
That is next level, because and then the cops, there's not very many police officers in this town, so
it's a small town.
Well, they basically just were like, they had to just back off. Mm-hmm. Because when there's that many people, and like, say there's 1,000 people and there's 6 cops, the cops are not going to, they're not going to put their lives at risk or their whatever at risk. You know what I mean? So like, they're just going to let this shit happen. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the repercussions, which we're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. And the repercussions are that Lone Star Throwdown got their contract pulled. So as of right now, there is no Lone Star next year.
Are you
or ever again?
Are you okay saying that?
Yeah, I asked Lonnie. If we could, because this is all public stuff that's out there right now. So there is a meeting. This episode drops Monday. There's a meeting on Wednesday. They don't know what the outcome of the meeting is gonna be. Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, it's not looking good.
Well, the problem is how do you resolve that problem?
And that's sort of like the rub. So like the local law enforcement, the local citizens are really like looking towards this show as the problem, which I can understand that, because it gives something for people to be upset about. It gives them someone to blame, essentially.
Well,
like
what Lonnie said, he said they're looking at it as just, you cut the head of the snake off, and then you know what I mean? Because if you look at those videos. You know, they and Lonnie and them have been studying and watching all these videos and stuff. He goes, there were very few people with wristbands mm-hmm. on. There were very few trucks that were at the show. And if they were, they weren't doing the burnouts and stuff. They were the ones just kind of parked. And Lonnie was like, look, I've been to these things before. I've gone to meets before. You know what I mean? Like, but when you participate in the lawless part of it,
right,
is totally different. But again, how do you police that? From the show, like, you would have to bring in other agencies.
Mm-hmm. That's the hard time that I'm like having to digest is like their LST, the Lone Star Throwdown crew, their boundary is the show. Like, what do you can't do anything beyond that.
No, they can't.
It's public. It's the world. It's like, you can't control the world. But well, like you said, it gives.
Let's say it's just like a sports game, mm-hmm. like at the playoffs. Whatever happens inside the stadium is inside the stadium. What happens outside of the stadium is not the baseball game or the football game or the hockey game or whatever. But it still is because of that gain.
But that brings up a good point, too, because are these cities going to tell these sports teams they can't have sports games anymore?
No, but so they have the money. They have the money
that's what
to bring in extra authority. So imagine if, like, Conroe and Montgomery County said, okay, you can do it, but we're going to, because Department of Homeland Security, they have an officer that represents that area, and they're involved. So, like, they're like, okay, well, we have the authority, federal authority, to bring in different agencies, like maybe some Houston police officers, some Dallas, for different agencies that can come in and kind of just patrol the areas, sit in the parking lot. Like, they have the manpower now to make this not happen.
But who pays for that? Who pays for that?
We're going to pay for it.
Oh,
even
yeah.
He was like, yeah, because Lonnie's like, look, yeah, we're going to have to charge more for spectators, charge more for vendors, charge more for this.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, that's just, you're just caught in a thing. And I had a few people message me too, and they were like, imagine if we still had our show at Paris.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Because of the amount of the street takeover style stuff that's happening
right.
all over the place.
Right.
You know, it's happening in every state, every city, you know, up in, I think it was Stockton, they finally just started taking people's cars.
Really?
Like they're the street takeovers up there.
Mm-hmm.
They just started, they finally, they're just like, okay, we're done. And they just started taking people's cars. They used to do that at the street races. They finally were like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I remember
those. They would
those
take
times.
Your car,
yeah.
No questions asked, and they would crush it.
Yeah, I remember those times.
Yeah.
It's interesting how, like, things just cycle. You know, things just cycle through. It was the street races back in the day. It was, you know, besides, like, the crazy hotel stuff, I don't remember too much crazy, like, mini truck stuff going on. As far like that was the size of like takeovers or street races or anything like that. Like that really, that wouldn't be a thing, but street racers, takeover guys. I don't know, man. Is it just like a thing that is a byproduct of when you'd have an automotive scene like this? Like, did they have that problem in the '60s with like street racers and stuff? Like,
I mean, they probably did to a certain extent, you know, like that's just what young kids do. They get together. They rebel. They don't care because there's no consequences. So if they're not seeing consequences, that's a big thing too. Like if you're not seeing consequences from the police, and you're not seeing consequences from home, then you're just gonna do it more. And then when you're getting the response you do like on social media, like yeah, man, and it. There was a weird moment. I was watching that video and that kid that broke the window out. Did you see that part of the
video? Did you see the comment about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, about how the kid got... It was so weird. Like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but like, it was the video. This kid breaks out the window and in the comments, one kid goes... One kid goes, man, that was me inside the truck who broke out the window. And the next comment's like, hey, man, I'm the guy who broke out the window. It was like this weird...
And they broke out the window from the inside of the truck, not the outside of the. They were inside the truck and they broke out the window.
Oh, I thought one person broke the window from the outside and then the person
this dude
from the
like
inside
kicked the window from the inside and broke it out. And
trying
then
to
he
fight
like
someone outside.
Went through the window, but the rage that this kid had, like this built up craziness. Like I was like, that kid's gonna murder someone one day. Like I saw that and it like really messed with my brain.
Yeah,
I was like, that there's something wrong there.
Yeah, man, the whole thing, I watched that whole video, and it's a double-edged sword, because, like, you're giving these people what they want, which is attention and views and clicks and everything like that,
yeah.
But you also, I don't want to say have to watch it, but you at least have to understand what people are talking about, so it's like this weird, like, double-edged thing, you know? And then, like, everybody has their ideas, like, you know, I went on Facebook and people suggested all sorts of things, some things that made zero sense, some things that kind of made a little sense, but... They're just like, there is no simple answer and there is no easy answer and it's complicated. You know?
Well, when we used to do street racing, we would go to one area, we would race and then the cops would come and flush you out. We would go to a meeting spot and then we'd go to, and the cops would come and flush you out. Mm-hmm. And that's what would happen there. The cops would go to Kroger, flush them out. They would find another empty parking lot. There's not enough police and security for every single parking lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a small town.
Yeah. And you're next to a huge town, which is Houston,
right.
A huge city.
Right.
So, and then you also have the freeways. Like, they'll just get on the freeways and just start doing that. So there is no easy, there is no solution.
Yeah, there is no solution.
The solution is to stop having LSD. And that solution,
that one hurts.
It sucks. It hurts real bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because, and even is that the solution? Because now there's still, these people still exist. So where are they going to go?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't travel from out of state to come to this. Those people were local.
Yeah. Local-ish. And that was one surprising thing from that video that I noticed is, like you said, these are not LST participants. These are just some young people who are like, yeah, we're going to go check out, like, that video in particular that we're talking about. They had LST. It showed one clip from LST. And then the rest was this crazy, you know, meet that happened, which shows me that, like, what you're saying is these are not show people. These are not people who build trucks to enjoy them, to go to shows and hang out. These are young people who have similar looking trucks who just want to do that. Go to LSD, check it out for a couple minutes, and then just go do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar thing happened at Scraping the Coast.
Oh, with the cruising, yeah.
Yeah, with the cruising, and then the people would, then they would just have meets in the mall areas, and like, it.
This also, to show, okay, like if I was to like try to like gather some sort of positive light from this, not, unfortunately not for LST or Texas or anything itself, is the shining example on how to do it and still have fun is mini nats. You know,
I even worry about mini nats sometimes.
But like, yeah, I guess
just because I saw it happen with Southern Werthersee,
mm-hmm.
which was in a little town.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like that. So it's a little more distant from big cities. So it's a, but
also, like you said earlier in this conversation, when it's kind of like allowed or watched over by like the local law enforcement, it seems to go better. Because with mini nats in particular, you know, they're like, the local law enforcement says you can cruise all you want, we don't care. You can drag, we don't care. But you do one burnout and you're done. And kind of everybody knows that there are burnouts that happen, but they're pretty on top of it. Like,
well, I don't even think that they're on top of the burnout. They don't want people doing U-turns.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
A state highway. Remember, it's not the burnouts.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I think, that's right. Maybe it was just Jason didn't want the burnouts.
Yeah, I just think overall, when I start to see burnouts, I start to get nervous because then it just creates this whole thing. The thing with mini nats is you're allowed to drive up and down the street.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about that. So they're not hanging out in businesses doing any sort of damage. Now, the second that they start to hang out, like, say, down at the pancake house down there, wherever we kind of hang out and turn around, imagine if they started doing donuts in that parking lot.
That would become a problem.
Then it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. Or those businesses, those little gift shops, mm-hmm. the little strip malls. You know, what if they started doing that during the day and started hindering their clients?
Right.
Or their customers. Right. It's like, once that happens, once you start to impede on the town and their money and the other people that are there, it's like, you're done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing there. Imagine your mom trying to go to the grocery store and all that stuff's happening.
I know. And they're, I've been in those situations, not personally doing burnouts and being dumb, but I've been at those things when that happens. And again, that mob mentality takes over and they just start really giving, like you talk about that mom trying to get to the grocery store, you know, they'll start antagonizing that person. And it's just a whole bad thing, man. And it's funny you mentioned about the burnouts, how burnouts make you nervous. That's always like the first key indicator that like things are getting hot. Like, things are about to boil over.
Because one person does a burnout, and then someone else got to show them they can do a bigger burnout,
mm-hmm.
and then someone's got to show them they can do a bigger burnout, and then it turns into donuts, and it's just, you just know. And it's not that I'm, like, I think burnouts are cool, whatever, but it's I just fear that it's now coming to an end. Like, when you see that stuff, like, mini nats, anytime I see, like, non-mini truck people start to come into town.
Yeah.
Those people that are sitting in the back of the truck and you just know that they're not there for me. I get nervous because I'm like, how many of them are coming?
Right.
How many of them are coming down? I see a lifted truck come through. I'm like, that's not here for mini nets.
Yeah.
Well, where's all your buddies?
Yeah.
How many people are coming in? Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like, it's just that thing. And in 2 seconds, it could be gone.
Yeah. And it's just like, that's the cycle. Like, how many events have been, you know, done because of
all
that?
The time. All
it's
the,
it's I the mean, cycle. Like, it's like someone who wants to throw a show, has this idea for a show, and they maybe do the first one or the second one, and it's not as big as, or as, you know, whatever. Like, it's not as good as they thought it was going to be, and then it gets better, and then, like, it's like, It's like almost like a set thing. Like what is a cycle? But what's another way to put it? It's just the pattern. It's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, here we are with that. I don't know. How does that, I'll ask a question and then you proceed, you know, how you want. You can even shut me down. But how does this whole situation affect the classic truck show in the summer?
It doesn't, apparently, because it doesn't draw the same crowd, which just goes to show you, when you have those lifted trucks, it draws a different kind of crowd. And, yeah. You know, it is what it is. There's nothing else that you can say except if those lifted trucks weren't there, this would not have happened.
Okay. I mean, I know that. I didn't know if we were going to like be bold to say that, but
it doesn't happen at Mini Nats. It doesn't happen at the Classic Truck Show.
At the Obby.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at C10 Nationals. It doesn't happen. You know, it's that. It's just that young crowd.
Mm-hmm. And that's what they're into. And to kind of go back earlier in the conversation, how you were saying that me and Joe were saying that, like, you know, they felt different, you know, from different perspectives, from his C10 perspective, from my like lower truck perspective, you know, that was what we know. We kind of like were talking about it, not really in great detail, but we were kind of making comments throughout the weekend. Like, you see, and man, I really don't want to be this person or talk negatively about any particular group of people, but the guys who drive those trucks, the way they dress, the way they act.
Oh, they're not. Their fashion is totally different.
And they're not us. They're not. No. They're not our brand. Like, it's just how it is, you know?
Yeah. And that's nothing against them. They just dress differently.
Right.
They don't dress.
I just don't want to sound, I just don't want to sound like, I don't know how to put it, but I just don't want to sound a particular way. Like I'm like talking down to these people or something.
No, they're just not there. Okay. So there was apparently a company that's called like Flawless Whips or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were up in the arena where they have vendors at the top there. And apparently their booth was cracking all weekend. And that's because you saw how these kids dress. They dress totally different.
Yeah.
Than we do. Our clothes are what we make are based on our age group.
100%. And that sounds weird, but it is. I mean, we're like, I don't know why I'm being so careful with this, but like, during the show, we were very poignant in saying these things and identifying them because at the end of the day, we are brands that sell clothing merchandise. You know, we have to like look at that type of stuff.
And we also have to make sure that the shows we're going to are the shows that people are buying our stuff,
right?
Or the shows that we're vending at.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all that stuff. So like, if you continue to go to this show and the crowd changes and they're not buying your merch, you're just not going to continue to vend at that show.
Right.
That's all. So that's what we were talking about. We were talking about, well, I wonder if we moved our booths and if that would work or not. The problem with LST is, even talking to Lonnie, is everyone is there's like a waiting list to get into that, you know, as far as that. And I was like, well, what if there's a lifted truck group or lifted truck brand that's up near the lower trucks and they want to like swap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, you know, we could definitely see, you know, that's a possibility, but would that, I mean, who, you just don't know, you know, there's too many, it's almost like there's too many variables too, because you can't base it on 1 year.
Yeah, you have definitely.
You have to definitely, like, it's like science, right? You can't just base it on one thing.
Right.
You have to repeat it over and over and over again until it's basically proven.
Yeah.
So it could have just been people didn't see some of the stuff we had. Because I did really good. Those two shirts that I had did really good.
Yeah.
But the rest of my stuff didn't do good.
Right.
So like if take away those two new shirts that I had,
I would be like, I'm not coming back. That's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I look at that part. I don't look at like, oh yeah, I did really good. I just took, okay, let me take away those two shirts and then the rest of my shirts, I wouldn't have done good.
Right. Did you inventory and kind of like seen that?
I don't know.
Oh,
no.
You just go, oh yeah.
I just know that I didn't bring a lot of those t-shirts home and I took a lot there. So,
right.
You know,
the optimistic side of me really hopes that would be the case. Well, I mean, even if there is an LST next year, I don't know. But if there is, the optimistic part of me would like it to be like, yeah, if we just kind of moved. Because I don't know if it's me just being in denial or whatever, but like I was like developing that scenario in my head was like, of course, like all the lower truck guys are far, and I'm building this scenario in my head, which may or may not be true. But yeah, like you said, you have to like kind of like try something else, maybe, you know.
So it's almost like we have to, if the LSD happened, I don't know if there would be any changes. I don't know what they would do, but say it just happened again, and we would have to take and be in the exact same spot, and if it repeated as it did this year, then we would know that there was like a pattern happening here. So, but who knows? Because now there's going to be changes. It's either not going to happen, and if it does happen, there's going to be changes.
Oh, so, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I wonder what those changes are going to be.
Don't know.
Yeah. Well, we may just be going to Texas in the middle of summer now.
I know. God damn it.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, so maybe we could be inside for those ones.
We can. We have that option.
Well, I mean, let's give it a whirl.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to experience LSD without the lifted trucks, go to the Classic Truck Show. Classic Lone Star Showdown? Lone Star. It's Lone Star Throwdown, right?
LSD is Lone Star Throwdown, but okay, this is called the Classic Truck
Throwdown.
Classic Truck Throwdown.
Yeah.
The CTL. I kept calling it
Classic. I kept calling it Classic Truck Showdown.
Oh, Showdown.
But it's Throwdown.
Throwdown. So it's not LST, it's CTT.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
so
we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But LST 2024 was an experience. LST in general is an experience.
It is, because it's always that first travel
show,
and you're just like, kind of working out the kinks because we haven't been on the road in a long time.
But working out the stiff backs.
Yeah.
But I'm ready. I as far as take away all that stuff and look at it, you know, positively, like I had a good time. I feel pumped for the rest of the year. I still have that like drive in me to just keep, you know, moving forward and like coming out with new designs and doing better and creating more content. So that didn't, the whatever happened, it didn't deter me from any of that. So I'm still on the same trajectory of like,
And not talking bad about any of this stuff. Like, if you've never been to Lone Star Throwdown and they have it again next year, go.
Oh, for sure.
Like, it is the best show with, it's got the most diverse vehicles. You can see everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just, it's insane. The crowds are insane. The vendors are insane. Everything's insane.
Yeah.
So hopefully that it continues to happen, but we will see. And then, but moving forward, the next show is Forbidden.
Yep. Oh, dude, I'm so stoked. It's like a little reward. It's like you went on this first road trip, you know, things, whatever happened, and then you go to Forbidden, and it's like, I'm just stoked, dude. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And back at the Avi, and can't wait to see all the updates at the Avi and just hang out. And then Monday we have to be back in town, but Sunday I think we'll maybe stay a little longer, leave a little later in the day, do a little chilling.
On Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
At the Forbidden Show?
At the Forbidden Show, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do, because it's going to be one of those things where, like, we're going to have trophies on Saturday night, so people can leave their cars on the grass or they can take them off, but they have to be off at a certain time on Sunday.
Okay.
So.
But, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we'll do Friday, get there Friday, do the roll-in, hang out, do Saturday show all day, and then do that, and then Sunday maybe just a little chill.
Like a slow roll out. Yeah.
Like just maybe a little drink by the pool.
I'll be gone.
Are you going to get there on Wednesday again like you normally do? Or
no, I'm going to get there on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get there on Thursday and then, and then probably just bounce on Sunday, just kind of, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just make sure everyone's good and then get out of there.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. It's really cool. And it's also really cool how when like we go to LST and we see everybody there at the club and hanging out, and like you always finish like, I'm going to see you in a couple weeks. And you know, it's either yes or no, obviously, but you know, it's just this really cool feeling, like this perpetual, like I'll see you at the next one.
Yeah.
It's all the way on the other side of the country, but I'll see you there. Are you going to, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a really cool feeling.
Yeah. And then it just starts this crazy month and a half, 2 months of shows.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, we got Forbidden. And then we have Havasu Meltdown. Well, this for me, I don't know if it's different for you because you got a few other things going on. But for me, Forbidden, Havasu Meltdown, Mini Nats, Cruise of the Pines. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I'm taking the trip to Cruise of the Pines. So that's going to be fun. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy. And then Rolling in the Red Rocks.
Rolling the Red Rocks, yeah.
And then that Unfinished Business show
mm-hmm.
out at Paris Fairgrounds.
That's going to be cool, too. That's going to be nice, yeah. chill, local. I enjoyed last year because, like, it was just kind of like real, just hanging out.
And that's what we're going to do again this year. We're going to share a booth, mm-hmm. bring a couple things, and just chill.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. What was the consensus of opinion yesterday, Tanner, checking out your truck about getting it actually running?
Oh, he just basically said when it's done over there, just to get it, he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Panda's done a bunch of work. It sucks because I need to get down there and film and make a video, but I can't.
You didn't film yesterday?
No, I just took Tanner down there and looked because he's working at Switch, so I just picked mm-hmm. him up at Switch, stole him for a second, drove him over there, and then drove him back. I couldn't just hang out and like film, you know what I mean? But Panda's done a bunch of work, and what sucks is at the beginning of the week I'll be in California, so it's gonna have to wait till the end of the week next week.
Oh.
And
so is there a slim possibility that it'll be running and driving for Cruise of the Pines? No.
No, Cruising the Pines probably running and driving.
Oh, yeah. What did you think I meant?
I thought you were going to say Forbidden.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are you bringing it to Forbidden?
I might just bring it out there and slap it in front of the booth because it's got a lot of work since the 30th. You know what I mean? And after this, you won't see any of the metalwork. It'll all be, covered up.
Here's an interesting question. Are you setting up a booth at Forbidden?
At Forbidden? Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because you didn't last year.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. Right next to
you. Where was it? No, that was Lindsay's.
I was right next to
Lindsay's. Oh, no, that was yours. That was
Lindsay's. I will always set up a booth at Forbidden.
I know. Okay. All right. Yeah. Cool. So is Lindsay going to run it for you?
I don't know who's going to run it for me. Probably Kim.
Oh, Kim.
And just kind of an array of different people. Whoever wants to come in the booth and run the booth.
Just all like kind of, it kind of take little... Still turn switch people in and out. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Kim.
And we'll be there too.
Yeah, Kim ran the booth last year, so.
Yeah, I've totally, I don't know, my head. Sometimes my brain is like.
Yeah, and I'm stoked. So I just, we're going to have a bunch of cool raffle prizes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be cool. I'm excited
for it.
It's
going to be fun. Yeah, we have a lot of people traveling to the show and coming from out of town and stuff. So that's going to be awesome. A lot of first timers, a lot of first time people at the show I've never
been to the Avi.
Never been to the Avi or never been to a Forbidden show?
Well, yeah, or they've been to a Forbidden show, but only at the River Lodge.
Right.
So it's kind of funny how that works because it hasn't been at the Avi since 2019.
Yeah, that's going to be special. It's going to be really special.
Yeah, hopefully.
But, so we're 3 weeks away from that?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about it probably once or twice more before. So we're doing a podcast. We'll have a guest episode coming up pretty soon, and then we'll probably be talking about the Forbidden show a little more.
Yeah, and then... when this episode is over, we will hammer out the details for next week in our post podcast.
The post, the after dark.
Yeah. Patreon All episode. Right. Just kidding.
The Patreon episode. Oh, boy. All right. LiveLifeCustom.com, Grander-TV.com, new designs, new giveaways, via Air 444 dual pack.
And I might have hoodies still on there. So if...
this is coming out Monday. So
They're not going to fly off the shelves. They're not cheap. To ship.
Yes, they will.
Yeah. there's hoodies, and then we'll have drop stuff on there soon. I got to update all that.
Oh yeah, we got all the drop stuff. You got all the drop stuff.
Yeah,
and you'll get sweaters on there.
I just went through
t-shirts.
Yeah, I got to go through the drop hoodies next, and then I got to go through the club hoodies next because I ordered.
Oh yeah.
I have to sort a lot of stuff out.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.